Well, praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to go back in again to our teachings on the being filled with the Spirit. And we're looking at reasons why we, speaking in tongues and, operating over in this area of the Spirit, tongues being filled with the Spirit, what the benefits are of this, what it does for us, because there's, as I've said many times, that the church world as a whole knows nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and they sure can't look even a lot to the Spirit-filled church. In fact, I got a book sent to me. Lots of times, as a pastor of a church, ministries want to sell their books, so they send you, a copy of their book, to see, do you read their book and see if you like it. So. Sometimes I sit down and read the books. If I mostly go by my spirit, what I feel led to do on the things. And so there was a book that was sent out dealing with seven things a Christian needs to know. And I started looking through the things, and it's very interesting. This is a Spirit-filled church, but yet they mention nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They speak about prayer and everything. They talk about being filled with the Spirit, but they never mention speaking in tongues. They don't do it. They go through, and I'm looking through this book, and I'm thinking, they're scam artists. Now, whether people realize it, they're scammers, because they know what's true. I know, because they're Rhema graduates. They know what's true, but they're scamming the world, because they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to, and I'm looking through the things, and they really don't. They have a lot of nice things they say in there, but boy, they leave huge gaps when it comes over to the area of the things of the Spirit. They said, you got to know the Holy Spirit and get to know the Holy Spirit. Yet they leave being baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues out completely. Well, there's a lot you're never going to know. And what they do is they say, oh, you need to read the Bible about finding out about being filled with the Spirit. We can read the Bible, and if you've been taught that the things it says in there are gone, they're gone, you don't do it anymore, what do you think that person's going to reason if they're not taught? And so, one thing is, I know if they go to that church, which is a large church, they're not going to get taught. And so, people aren't going to learn about the things of the Spirit. And you have the opportunity to learn about the Holy Spirit. I thank God I got to listen to Kenneth Hagin and listen to his teaching on being filled with the Holy Ghost and the importance of these things. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you do the Christian walk without the Holy Ghost. I really don't have a clue. I mean, I don't even understand what it would be mean to be a Christian, be religious. I mean, like, who cares? Why do it? Hallelujah. But we want to look tonight, we're going to pick up some more of these things of the importance. And some of these things do overlap with each other, but yet still there are some significant differences in things that we're talking about. And one of the things we want to look at is one of the things of speaking in other tongues is in the areas which speaking in tongues does for us is really is another means of magnifying God. And that's really important in the areas of whether we in worship, praise, or whatever, but it gives us the ability to magnify God. And we have in Acts 10, there's some scriptures we had used before in some of our teaching, but in Acts 10, in 45 and 46, say this. It says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, we want to talk about, so talking about magnifying God. And the word magnify here means to extol or to laud, to cause to be, held in great esteem or respect. It is one of the things it means to magnify. It means to increase in significance. We magnify something, we make it increased in significance. We intensify also means to, it could also mean to exaggerate something. So, but it in magnifying is to enlarge something. You can enlarge things in facts or the actual appearance of something means to magnify it. So what we want to really is what we're looking at is to magnifying God. So we want to know that a person, when an individual here we're dealing with this, it says they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Now this is talking what took place at Cornelius' house when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when these ones got filled with the Holy Spirit, it said they spoke in tongues and magnified God. we need to understand the significance of what took place here, because, see, people in their mind begin to reason certain things. Well, they did two things. They spoke in tongues and they magnified God. Now, number one, they didn't getting filled with the Spirit. Magnifying God is not a sign of being filled with the Spirit. I'm sure that Cornelius, even as a Jewish proselyte, magnified God with his own language and tongue. He did those things already. You know, an angel appeared to the guy, and God was pretty impressed on this guy and what he was and what he did. And so we know that he did this, but what this is talking about here is magnifying God. He magnified God. What they heard was them speak in tongues and magnify God. They're magnifying God in tongues. They are not magnifying God in their own language. You know, what big deal was that, to magnify God in your own language? They all did that. You could have went down the temple. I mean, all the Jews that didn't accept Jesus are down in the temple, and they're going through things down there of worship like they're magnifying God. But that was not even any sign that they were saved. They're following a religious tradition. These people are operating in the Spirit. And as one thing as we do is speaking in tongues from this area of magnifying God, as we can magnify God in tongues. And so we want to operate. It's an important thing. In that area, that's why is the operation of the areas of worshiping in tongues. It's really important to get into that area of using tongues in worship to God and things, because you're magnifying God. In other words, you're over in the areas of worship. The Holy Spirit will help you worship, giving you things in the Spirit to say that will exalt God and glorify God using your mouth. See, it's one of the things is really we do. Anytime, even in our own known language, when we magnify God, we worship God, we're really putting God in a position to be able to do things, for God to be able to do stuff. And so we want to, it's important, because like in this area, this is, I think, is an area that a lot of people miss it in, because, you know, it's sort of like coming to God. A lot of people come to God in prayer when they need help and sort of come, you know, dead cold. And right away is the first thing they do. You know, it'd be just sort of like you picked up the phone, somebody called, and they wanted you to help them with something. But when you pick up the phone, they just, you know, jump right in. This is what I want. You know, you say hello, but you don't even get a hello back. You just get a, you know, this is what I want you to do. You'd probably, I think my calendar's full this week, thank you. And for probably the next 2 years, you know, and hang up on them. If people would do that. Lots of times that's what happens when people come to God. And when we get over in the area, you know, is really, I would say this sort of in a sense. When we worship God and we come and magnify God, that's sort of just out of good protocol to come into the presence of God. It's a good way of saying hello to Him. It's a good way to approach God in a way that we're recognizing Him as being God. You know, God is not Santa Claus, and He's not, you know, your guy to just take care of the stuff you need. If you approach God and you treat God like that, eventually your prayer life ain't going to work for you. It's not going to do too much. If you treat God from the standpoint that all He is there to just get you what you want, you're going to have a strained relationship. And I believe many people have a strained relationship with God. And this is one of the wonderful things, is tongues gives us the ability in the areas. This is one of the things. You want to magnify God in your known language. I mean, it's a good thing to do. But also, you want to do it over in this area, especially because anything you're doing over in the areas of tongues and operating in that area, you're not operating in any kind of selfishness. It's perfect. You know, it's the Holy Ghost giving your spirit the words to speak through you to God. You know, I don't think the Holy Spirit's going to give you words that are going to, you know, in any way degrade Jesus or knock the Father. So you're going to be speaking words. You probably, and I would surely think this, that we're probably magnifying God with words and things that really are not in our language that we could actually do. You know, I'm assured of this. If you take from an intellectual standpoint in God, the languages and things of heaven, I imagine we could probably say or do more probably with one word than probably we could do with a you know, a good paragraph. And that's why as we get over in these areas, we've got to get out of the natural realm of thinking to trying just to express ourselves to God in our known language. Because when we learn to do this, when we learn to operate over in this area and magnify God, we make God bigger, and you know, we don't realize it. It may not seem from us in an intellectual sense that we see God bigger, but your inner man will. What you are doing is we're magnifying God in your spirit. God will become bigger to your inner man. And remember this, that's where the seed of everything starts that we operate in this earth is the human spirit. My faith in God operates out of my inner man. Faith's of the spirit. It's not of my mind, or it's not of my body, or it's not of anything like that. It's not of my feelings. Faith is from the heart, your human spirit. So anything that I'm operating in over here in the realm of the spirit, magnifying God. God, you want God to become bigger in your thought, but God's not going to become truly bigger in your thought till He becomes bigger in your inner man. That's where the revelation of it comes from. Now you want that revelation to dawn on your mind. There's things that my mind knows, but really there's not words to express concerning God. I cannot tell people really accurately with our language. There's things that I know that are inside my spirit that I comprehend. But how you'd put it to words, I really don't understand. Lots of times people throw that away because what they can't express, they think, well, that probably wasn't a good thought anyhow. Probably wasn't right. Many times there's things that our inner man comprehends and understands that mentally we can't really bring it out to exactly how to say it or what to do. There's just this thing we have inside. I can't term it any better than just, I just got a knowing in me. There's a knowing inside of me. It's a knowing. I have stood on those kinds of things already concerning trusting God and things, and have seen things come to pass just walking in that knowing. Walking out in that knowing. So when we get over in this area, and this is why I believe in tongues, we get over and we magnify God in these areas. It really I would say no more than supercharges the inner man. And that's what you want to do. You want to fire the inner man up. We're building that inner man up. And so when we're doing that, we're magnifying and praising God. You know, I get over in the areas and I can maybe spend 10, 15 minutes saying what I know to magnify God. Then I got to, my spirit's like, would you please let me say something now? I said all I know. And the inner man, why? The Holy Spirit has things He wants to say. He wants to take you further. He wants to take you further. So allow him to do that. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. So praying in other tongues will magnify God in your life. See, many times we expect, and it's one thing I think we miss, we expect some kind of instantaneous change, some kind of instantaneous thing. You build up the inner man, and you'll start to see things happen because of that. In other words, when you come to the place you need something to happen, something can take place because what's inside of you. You may not be walking around with any kind of feeling of it or not. That's not what's important. You build up, it's like a flashlight. You know, you put batteries in a flashlight. You know, and everybody throws them in drawers, puts them in places and all kind of stuff. The most important thing about that flashlight is when you need it, is it going to come on? That's the most important thing. You know, that flashlight, you don't feel a thing when that flashlight's sitting in that drawer. You feel nothing. You walk around, you don't even think about it. The day that you want it, you go get it. You want it to turn on. That's when we're going to discuss whether or not how that thing, so this thing's going to work, whether I like it or not. And we need to know that. The human spirit many times is that way. Things of the spirit are that way. We walk around. It isn't a matter of having this knowing consciousness about it. But when you just operate, it's just like that, the batteries. You know, they have these things now that you crank, you know, and they'll charge up a battery, you know, and then you got a light and that stuff, you crank it up. Well, that's sort of what praying in tongues does. It's cranking it up. So whether you're walking around all the time charging your battery, you're walking around charging your battery, magnifying, praising God, praying in other tongues, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Doing these things, it's like going around cranking that thing up. So when the day you need that charge of battery, the day you need to release your faith because something's got to happen, now you're ready for it. Most people don't do that. Most people are in that they don't do anything for the future. Everything's done because of what happens now. So now, you know what, I run into trouble and now my battery's down low because I ain't done anything and now I'm going to start praying in tongues. Well, we're playing behind the game. It might take you 2-3 days to catch up. And meanwhile, the devil keeps gaining ground too. That's why you want to do these things. Because this stuff is working on the inside. So learn to do this. Magnify God. You know, pray in tongues every day and let God be magnified more and more in your life. Hallelujah. And he will be. So, you know, use that as part of your, as part of praise and worship to God. Hallelujah. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. There's things that we pray about, we talked about. There's things that we pray, we maybe not know or understand. There's things that we pray. Any of this stuff that you do over in the areas of the Spirit in tongues is all the time. We have that side benefit all the time. It's building up your most holy faith. See, all the time, it's like a charge. It's like that flashlight with a crank. Every time you crank it, it's charging a battery inside that thing. Every time you turn it, there's a battery inside that thing being charged. And that's what we're doing. So if I'm praying in tongues, whether I'm worshiping God in tongues, magnifying God, whatever I'm doing, I'm just running the crank. I'm just, whatever you're doing, it's always a benefit to us. Here I am magnifying God in perfection, saying, you know, perfectly what I should be saying. And you know what? God gets pleasure out of that, but on top of that, I get benefit. I get the benefit of getting charged up. So you always want to make sure you're staying over that area where you're keeping yourself charged. Now, another thing is speaking in tongues helps us stay conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. You want to stay conscious of the Holy Spirit presence in you. It's sort of like anything in our consciousness, anything that, you know, it's like when something goes wrong. You know, it's like your car. You're not real conscious of your car until it don't work. You just run out, sort of jump in them. You know, jump in the truck, go just, you do things. We don't really think a whole lot about it until it doesn't work. But what we want to do, especially with God, we want to keep a consciousness of God. You need to keep a consciousness. And how you keep a consciousness of God is not some thought about God. I'm trying to remember all the time God's on the throne sitting out there somewhere. You keep a consciousness, we as Christians keep a consciousness of God. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit in us, God's presence in us. That's what you want to be in contact with. That's where God talks to you. That's where God reveals things to you. It's through your spirit. God's not revealing things to us. You know, He doesn't send notes from heaven. There's not a red telephone somewhere we go pick up and, okay, you know, God gives a ringy-dingy to us and we go pick up. He's not doing it. It's on the inside of us. The more we have a consciousness of God, it'll just revolutionize and change your life because you'll become a person who begins to listen. You know, a lot of people say, well, God don't seem to talk to me. I can just tell you exactly concerning the person. The person does not have a consciousness of God. Or they would say, God, never say God doesn't talk to me. What they're saying is, I don't hear God. I don't have a consciousness of Him. And you'll find usually that person, even God can be pretty strong moving in an individual, but if they're more conscious to outward things, that'll dominate them. And there's one thing about it, a noisy mind, a mind filled with all the worries and thoughts and stuff of other things, and those kinds of things get so loud, they cut off what's going on in the inside. Now, I know I've been there, and I'm sure you folks haven't been, probably. It's just been me. You get so noisy on the outside that you're not conscious of what's on the inside. Many times I've been noisy on the outside. I've had senses of things, but the noise going on the outside, I haven't been clear about it. But after I get quiet, I think, oh, you know what, I was sort of sensing that was God talking the whole time. But meanwhile, I'm not sure of that. So I'm not walking along by faith, and I'm not following what God wants to do. I'm following the noise. And this is one of the big helps of praying in other tongues. We talk about charging, you know, we're talking about charging a battery. Well, you know, if you get it's just like anything with a battery and a full charge. I mean, you just take a vehicle, go to start it. It has a good full charge. I mean, that engine fires over quick. I mean, that thing, you get out and the battery starts getting down. You get it runs along. But you got a full charge on, you hit it and it's gone. So the more charge, the more that's there. This is one of the things that we need to do is every time we're praying in the Spirit, we're making our inner man charged up more. In other words, that charge becomes greater in the inside of us. The greater the charge becomes in you, the more conscious you're going to be of the presence of God in you. So you want your inner man to dominate. Praying in tongues helps do that. Number one, if you're praying in tongues, you spend time doing it every day, I don't see how you'd pray in tongues and not be conscious of God. and conscious of his spirit. In other words, to pray in tongues, you're going to have to yield over to be make yourself conscious. The more you do that, after a while, you're just conscious of God. You have yourself in a natural pattern of listening to God, expecting God to do something. Or if God wants to say something to you, you're in an automatic place where you want to do that. That's one of the things that is getting over the areas of praying in other tongues. And so, you know, we want to be conscious of God's indwelling presence in us. Because why? If you do that, I don't believe there's anything that changes your life more. You know, I got born again, and it was a couple months then before I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And but when I got born again, I mean, from the time that I got born again, I started spending time with God, and I'd go to my bedroom, I'd pray best I understood, knew how to talk to God, used to take my Bible in a room, I would sit down, read, ask God things, God would show me stuff. And, you know, it was I had a good time with God. But man, things changed when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. When I got full of the Holy Ghost, I was on a different level with God. I'd go into my bedroom, I'd spend time, I'd pray, and I'd pray in other tongues, and I'd spend time. Things really changed. Really, God was somebody before that I was contacting. To me, it almost seemed like you're contacting somebody that's outside. And now, it's like, it's totally different. It's me and God together. It became a totally different thing. In praying in other tongues, really revolutionized and changed my spiritual life. It took me over in the Spirit. In other words, and we find that when the Bible talks about praying in other tongues, it talks about praying in the Spirit. In other words, when you're praying in tongues, you're doing something in the Spirit. See, I could pray about things out of my mind and never really be in the Spirit about it. Not at all. But when you're praying in tongues, when the Holy Spirit's giving you utterance and you're praying in other tongues, you're in the Spirit. So you're doing something, as like we said before, charges you up, builds you up, and you want to walk in the light of that. So you know, we know that the Holy Spirit through salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have those things, and we need to be continually conscious of God's living presence. But we if we don't spend time praying in tongues, you're not going to come over and get to the area of the consciousness of God in you. And this is, I mean, it's important to think about this because, see, people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Most people have gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit in the church realm, have gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's been it. I mean, that's where everything has stopped. You know, it's like, it's entering a door or something and just standing inside the door. It's like going up to Hershey Park and buying a ticket, going in the park and standing at the gate. Just keep standing down there, leaning against the gate. Say, man, look how neat this is. Look all the stuff they got here. Look all these things you can do. Wow, isn't that neat? That's what most of Christianity is doing. You know, people got saved, did that. They walked in the door of salvation. Wow, isn't the kingdom of God wonderful? And there they are. They don't have any benefit of it. It's not a consciousness. They watch somebody else doing the rides. They watch somebody. Aren't they having fun? But then again, that was for Billy Graham, and that was for this guy, and you know, God's gifted them that way, but I'm not like that. No. Well, no, it is not that because of gifting. It's that way because someone else decided to walk in and start doing the things of the kingdom, and you're going to have to go in and do them. And in a sense, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues has a huge to do in a sense of like the ability to grab a hold of and do things in the kingdom. In other words, you're not going to be able to get in and get a hold of. Without praying in tongues, there's a lot of things. You're never going to go in that kingdom. You're going to watch the people ride this stuff that have been praying in tongues, and you're going to watch it and say, isn't that neat? It's sort of like on a hot day going down the pool, and you sit at the side, and all the water you get is whoever splashes some from the outside because you never get in the pool. And, you know, in a sense, it's like that. You want to get in the pool. And spiritually, you want to get in the pool. And the tongues gives you the ability to do that. You don't get in the pool just because you got baptized in the Spirit. Or you don't get on the ride in the park just because you were baptized in the Spirit. Really, it's almost like a currency. It's almost like you operate in that thing, and it gives you the ability to be able to do that. And so, there's one thing, as I'm a big believer in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, especially from the standpoint of being able to operate in areas of faith. If you don't spend time praying in tongues, you're going to be limited in your faith life. And it isn't. You can study the Word. I know people who study the Word. I know people who can tell me all kinds of things about healing, and they can't get healed. They probably know more healing scriptures than I know. I'm really not interested in how many you know. I'm interested in getting healed. And what happens is the total difference is this. Praying in other tongues will build you up in your most holy faith. In other words, it'll charge your faith up. It is not enough. You have to act on the Word. It's not enough to believe the Word. Believing is not power. Believing gives you the ability to move in power. But believing itself is not power. Because you can believe, a man can believe on Jesus Christ and believe that Jesus is Lord, but he never acts on that faith. He never gets saved. So see, believing isn't any, there's not power. See, but wow, the power's in believing. No, it's not. The power's in acting. And this is why it tells us, and we look at these things, praying in other tongues, it tells us these things. Why? It's because it will, the power, we'll have the power to release in our actions to bring things to pass. Through praying in other tongues, and I know through being filled with the Holy Ghost, has let me see things about the Word of God I would have never seen or understood before, or never comprehended, is because of praying in other tongues. We need to know, it's like what Kenneth Hagin said, the major revelations that he got in his ministry came while he was praying in other tongues. There's things that you enter into the Spirit. You can't enter into them naturally because you don't naturally know what to enter into. It's like, you know, 20 doors there, and which one takes me the right place? And you pray in tongues and God opens the door. The Holy Ghost begins to open the door that you need or whatever it is that you need and begins to reveal things to you, show things to you, so you get the insight that you need. And this is why we want to pray in tongues. I've seen this happen to people over the areas of praying in tongues, you know, they got saved and stuff, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. But till they learned to start operating in tongues, I saw people who really had trouble in the areas of believing God with things. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, got over there and started operating in that area. Totally changed them faith-wise. They became a different person. See, most people, it's one of the things. See, I'm a big believer on preaching the whole gospel. Now, we have a lot of people called what they call full gospel, but they're not full gospel. Because they'll preach while you get saved and you're just trying to work through life and this is the full, you know, trying to get you know, three. I always preached a gospel to me that, you know, I was an alcoholic and drugs and stuff. But I was told, you know, that if you got saved, Jesus would set you free. So you don't have to go through a 12 or 15 or 97 step program to try to get free. I was told, so I had something to believe. People aren't preached anything to believe. Jesus is going to save you. Well, you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Oh, yes, yes. Now you're full of the Holy Ghost. What for? We ain't got a clue. We don't have a clue what it's for. We don't have. Nobody's telling anybody what it's for. And it's they don't tell you the full gospel of what it's about. And so people are not expecting anything. I heard the full gospel. I had this crazy idea that when I got filled with the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit were going to start operating through me. That's what I was told. I was told by Kenneth E. Hagin, if I got full of the Holy Ghost, I'd speak in other tongues, I'd be full of the power of God, demonstrations and manifestation of the Spirit would operate through me as the Holy Ghost willed. I expected that. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. If nothing would have happened, I'd have been so downright disappointed in being filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, well, what's the point of this stuff? I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I expected God to operate through me. I expected God to start to manifest things through me, and He did. And so praying in other tongues, getting over there, we need revelation from God. But we want to be conscious of God. And really operating in this area of being conscious of God's presence, walking in the light of the consciousness of God's presence is hugely, hugely important. Tongues will give you a spiritual sensitivity, and it will. Tongues, praying in other tongues will start to work in you. You know, it's just like anything, to becoming sensitive to something, it may take time. I know, you know, we used to work on some things when I was like in a machine shop, and for a while I was in the machine shop and I was on the inspection end of inspecting things after they'd turn around and they'd work on parts and that stuff, and they'd work parts and you know, they whether they were using them on a lathe or whatever, and anyhow they bring it in, and so we inspect it and make sure that the thing's meeting the the specifications of certain things. And it's interesting, this older guy that worked with me, he could turn around his sensitivity to certain things, of using to know to handle things, he could almost tell by picking up things and just handling stuff, tell you it was right. And you turn around, and I'd get to, you know, you get out there and get all the meters and everything, checking everything out, doing all this thing, running them through these things and stuff. He was right. But see, he had a sensitivity of working around it for the amount of time. Well, I found out, I wasn't there a real long time, but in there, after a while, you're handling so many parts and doing so many things, all of a sudden, you just sort of, you gain a sensitivity. Do you ever think about, you know, like me, I get used to like my cars. I get used to driving a car. I can tell you when something starts going wrong with the car, I can sense it. I can sense in that car. I'll say to somebody else, did you hear that? You feel? No, what are you talking about? But see, I'm sensitive to that vehicle. You can become sensitive in the same way. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't that happens over time. But you got to stay at it. In other words, it's just like I had to stay out of handling parts and doing things and checking things to become like that guy. That guy could just do things, but he said, that's right, we check it out. He's exactly right. You know, he knew things. We have to become the same way, and it takes time. It takes time handling things of the Spirit. Tongues is something that we do in the areas of handling things in the Spirit. Hallelujah. To becoming sensitive. Because this will, this tongues will give us a spiritual sensitivity. This will affect how you live. When you become sensitive, see, so many times it's people are struggling about things and that stuff. And it's one thing as I found myself when I first started off as a Christian, you're behind on a lot of stuff. You're trying to work to catch up to things, you know. Things are already have happened or are going to happen, and you're trying to believe God, and you're working up to this thing. But as you develop this, you know, in these areas of the sensitivity, what happens is you begin to sense things before they even happen. You start to sense things in your spirit. You become sensitive. This is a hugely important part, because when you're operating over praying in tongues, really, you start to move into the future. Understand this. God is never yesterday. God is always, from a standpoint, God is always now, right today. He's right today. We talk about past, present, and future, but in God, it's really not that. God, there's no time base. That's why, from the standpoint of God, God sees, knows everything of the future, because He's always in the now. He's never a loss. God's not trying to look down the road to see what's going to happen. God's always everything's in the now. You know, the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, God sent Jesus. As far as God was concerned, Jesus was sent before He was ever sent. Because God in the now. But in the earth, we operate in time. But our success is getting over in the spirit realm, because the spirit realm is the place of no time. When you get over in the spirit realm, you can start to see tomorrow, the next day, and things down the road. You can start to see stuff and pick things up about what's going on out there. Why? Because when you're in the spirit realm, in the spirit, there's no tomorrow, there's no this down there. It's all now, and you can begin to see it. This is why when I began to learn this, I'd get over in the spirit. And when I was a young Christian, I'd get over in the spirit and things, and I'd see things down the road. And I didn't understand at the time. I thought, well, gee, is this stuff going to happen now or whatever? But here, what happened? I learned to find out. You get in a spirit realm, man, you can see a long way down the road. Well, I've been in the spirit realm, and I've seen things way down the road of God's plan for the church after everything of this earth's finished. I've seen things. And so, but you get over, that's no big deal. People are like, oh wow, you're so fortunate. That ain't no big deal. You get over in the spirit realm, and you start to see things. And so you begin to get a sensitivity. And that's why these tongues, when you're praying in tongues, you're doing a spiritual thing. You're operating over there in the spirit. You're exercising the inner man, becoming more aware spiritually. So you want to become more aware. You want to keep your tongue over in the area where you stay more in line with the Word. James said this. James said, for we all stumble. This is James 3:2 said, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, it's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So speaking in tongues, we need to understand this. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking divine words. When you're speaking. So you're over there speaking in tongues, you're speaking divine words. Now, in other words, you're yielding your tongue to God. James said, if we can control our tongue, he said we stumble in many things. But listen to this. Here's it. In other words, most of our stumbling around is because of our tongue. Most of the stumbling around in our life, and I can say this, most of the stumbling that I've done in my Christian walk is because I wasn't speaking or saying the right stuff. I was saying wrong things. Now, sometimes I didn't know. I was ignorant. But nonetheless, saying wrong things didn't help my situation. Even though I was a baby and didn't understand, it didn't help my situation. So we're speaking or saying things. He says we stumble in a lot of stuff. But what did he say makes a perfect person? If we don't stumble in words. People are trying to get perfect doing all kinds of stuff. Trying to move all kinds. No, I'll tell you, it's learning to control your tongue. And this is the wonderful thing about tongues. The wonderful thing about tongues. God, in other words, through James is telling us. James was the brother of Jesus. James wrote this. You know, Jesus had appeared to James after his resurrection. It was one of the things he did. He appeared to James. But James gives us a wonderful revelation about the controlling of the body. Now, is anybody else, you don't have trouble with your body. I mean, your body just obeys you just like you want it to. I tell you, it doesn't. But we find here, see, many times what we're doing is we're not working at things. Many times, I found this out and I found this to be true. If I spend more time in praying in tongues, I have less trouble with my body. It's true. I know it. If I spend time praying in tongues, I have, because what lots of times we're trying by our own willpower, we're trying by our own, we know what the Bible says we should do. We know what it says. And we're sort of like Paul over there. Remember we read over in Romans the 7th chapter, Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. One of those things. Well, see, this is one of the things that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get over in the area, we want to build the inner man up, become conscious of the presence of God in us. And doing that, if you're conscious of the presence of God, it's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to revolutionize, I'll guarantee you, it'll revolutionize your life. The more conscious you are of God's presence in you, it's going to change the way you live. Whatever you're mostly conscious of is what dominates you. If I'm mostly conscious about my problems, if that's in my consciousness the most. Now, we've all done it. Got over the areas where you have in a problem and you got worried about it. And that worry just made that thing the most conscious thing going on in you. And man, isn't that pleasurable? Isn't that just exciting and wonderful? It's like, oh my God. We get over there. That's what becomes the most conscious in us. And see, God wants to be the most conscious thing in your life. And He's given us this ability by praying in other tongues, by going over praying in the Spirit. It helps us control our tongue. But because what happens is, we get over in those areas of worry, we get over in those things, we speak the wrong stuff, we say the wrong things. And you know, that's what causes all the stumbling up. We're over there on one side praying God, asking God for help, and the whole time our voice is speaking our worries, speaking our problems, talking about all kinds of stuff we shouldn't be saying nor doing, and we're doing those things and just setting ourselves up. But by praying in tongues, we can put our tongues and submit our tongue over to the will of God and begin to pray in other tongues. And really what it does, it really does. It helps you in the keeping you consciousness of God. So you don't want your flesh controlling you. So speaking in tongues, speaking divine words. So, sometimes you don't know what, you don't, instead of saying the wrong things, well, just talk in tongues. Begin to speak in tongues. Build yourself up. Don't work against yourself. We've all done that, but, don't throw rocks at yourself, But just set yourself in the right direction, because we don't want our flesh to dominate us, and we don't want our problems and things to dominate us. We want to become more aware of God in us. And we can do that by praying in other tongues. So take the time to do that. To take the time to yield yourself. You yield yourself the Spirit, I'll guarantee you, your mind's going to be going, oh man, I don't know, your mind's over here somewhere. And I don't feel anything. We're so moved by feeling. Well, this don't feel like it's doing anything. It doesn't. You have to learn to just ignore all that. You just have to learn. It's just what the Bible says. The Bible says it's doing something in you. Praise God. There's one thing as I've learned over time, I've learned about the results of it. I have seen the results of it. So I know it works. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things we were talking about magnifying God, but also in the area of worshiping God is another way, really, in our worship itself, is to worship God in other tongues. It's a hugely important thing to do. Kenneth Hagin said this, speaking with other tongues will not only make you more aware of God's, of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, but it will also aid you in worshiping God. In the process, your spirit will become more sensitive to the things of God, and your taste for natural things will be affected, even things that aren't necessarily bad in your life. You need to understand about this. This is what a lot of Christians, see, a lot of Christians measure up to what they should be doing based upon what they call good or bad. And you want to learn, this is something you want to get past, because you need to understand this. Certain things may be okay for somebody else to do, but they're not okay for you because of where God's leading you. Amen. You need to understand that. You will never develop and grow. You will see that, you know, just like an athlete. You know, it's all right eating, you know, desserts and all that stuff. It's not a sin to have a dessert. But when people are training for things, they're not doing that because of what they must attain. And you need to learn this in your life. You need to learn. And we need to develop over the areas of the Spirit. And one of the things is learning this, praying in tongues and our areas of worship and praise and things of God helps us in the area of sensitivity in these areas, because there is a lot of problems in the body of Christ. Everybody, what everybody wants is somebody to write a book that just says, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And they love this. I mean, that's what everybody wants. And you know what? There's loads of those books out there, and people buy them up by the droves and don't live any better a godly life, don't do any better in their godly life than they did if they wouldn't have read it or didn't make no difference. But it excites everybody at the time. Oh, well, this wonderful book. Well, I'll tell you, anything you read or did was wonderful. Well, let me know in 6 months how it changed you. And if it didn't change you, it wasn't that much wonderful in it. We get so excited about things. One of the things it is being led by the Holy Spirit, especially and individually in our lives. You know, there's certain things that you have to learn about. You have to learn and understand in your spirit what you can be around or what you can do and things you can't do. From, you know, some things that might affect you, than another person, it don't affect them. But you got to stay away. You have to learn those things. You have to be able to listen on the inside and pay attention on the inside on those things. And a lot of people are not doing that. They don't do that. They go over, this is okay, that's okay. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm free to do what I want. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're free to do what you want, then just tell your children they're just free to do what they want. You know, no, you're not. We're all in growing and going through things, and sometimes, you know, we'll go along in stages of growth. I've had this. God's had me lay things down. God's told me to put things, certain things aside for a time. You put stuff for aside. He told me to. And you have to learn to do that. You learn, have to learn to pay attention. God's not doing things, you know, just to be doing things. He's trying to develop us. He wants us to grow up. He wants you to grow up. So you want to become sensitive in your spirit to God, in the areas of worshiping God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We used his scriptures before, but we want to go back to him again. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And in verse 14, Paul said this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit's praying." He said, "But my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, when I'm praying in other tongues, it's my spirit. I think the Amplified Bible says, "My spirit by the Holy Spirit in me prays." I like that, because that's what's going on. It's my spirit by the Holy Spirit in me. We're working together. You know, we're workers together with Him. It's 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. So we're working together, me and the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in other tongues, and the Holy Spirit is helping me, is in me, helping my spirit praying. So this is what I'm doing. So when I'm praying in tongues, that's what I'm doing. Then he says, what's the conclusion then? He said, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, we're going to do both things. We as Christians do two things. We're praying, we're supposed to pray in the spirit, and we're also supposed to pray in our understanding. We're supposed to pray them both, in both ways. We're supposed to pray in tongues, and we're supposed to pray in our understanding. Look, God's giving you revelation on some things that you know about and you understand. There's things that I know about and understand. I can go ahead and pray and just stand on the Word of God. You know, I don't have to pray in tongues to get healed. I have revelation from the Word of God. Now, I've gotten some of my revelation in times while I was praying in other tongues. But see, I've been given the revelation. So I know how to stand and how to get a hold of that. So if I'm going to pray, I'm going to stand. I know what to do in the Word of God to do that. So I'm expected to do that. But we also read about over where it told us in Romans the 8th chapter, sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. Well, that gets over, because then there's times we need to be praying in other tongues. Paul said, I do this. He said, this is what I will do. I will, he said, pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the understanding in other tongues. Paul doesn't need some special unction to pray in other tongues. He said, I will. If Paul says, if you believe that you need some kind of special unction to pray in tongues, well, then that means you would also need a special unction to pray in your understanding. Paul didn't say that here. Paul said, I will do both of these. I'm going to pray in tongues and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I do that. Why? How do you do it? By your will. He said, I will. In other words, by my will, I do it. I don't need any kind of feeling. I don't need anything. Then he makes this statement, I will sing with my spirit and I'll sing with my understanding also. In other words, I sing just like you can sing in your understanding. You can sing songs that you know. You can sing songs from your spirit. He said, I do both of those. It's important. In these areas, especially in the areas of worshiping God, we got to get over. You know, you can sing worship and praise to God. You can do that out of your spirit. You know, sometimes I'll get over there in the areas where all day there's like going on in me, and I'll get over and pray in tongues for a while, but then after a while I'm just a singing. I'm over there and it's just stuff coming out of me, and I just keep all day. It's sort of like that. It's just like there's a song in there that wants to get out, and you get over into doing that. And I'll get over, pray for a while, and then I'll just, and next thing I knew, I'm not even conscious of it. All of a sudden I realize, oh, I'm singing in tongues. It's inside of there. Well, it isn't just for Ed Gibson. He said he wills to do this. In other words, God is being glorified by you through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And he's using your voice. Now, the most wonderful thing about all this tongues business is this. Is everything that the Holy Spirit speaks through you, gives you the utterance for, whether it is praying or singing, you get credit for all as if you did it. Because, look, God can't get anything done. He doesn't get anything done unless it's through a person. Man has the authority. The Holy Spirit can't make it happen without the individual. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's through the individual. So God gives us the full credit, and the whole thing is, it's inspired by Him. It's a fixed system and it's wonderful. Hallelujah. It's inspired by God, but you and I get the benefit as if we, the things that we prayed or the things that we sang or whatever it is, as if we did it. And so we're blessed. I mean, this is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful system that God has established. And especially in the areas of worship. Sometimes, you know, I sing over the areas of worship and I'll go over and worship God. And then sometimes I'll just start singing out interpretation to Him. I start singing out the interpretation of the song and getting over into that. You do that. I don't always do it. But there's many times I do. I get over and I sing in tongues for a while. And after a while, songs start coming out of me. And I just start singing those things out of me. Well, there are things that have been going on inside of me that I've been singing in tongues, and then I start picking it up, really, from the intellectual side, starts coming up inside of me, really, the interpretation, and you start speaking those things, speaking them out. And doing that, really, that's part of working over in the area of, really, the spirit of prophecy. That's part of the spirit of prophecy. The Bible says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is why we get over in the areas in tongues and we sing in tongues and worship God in tongues. It's a testimony of Jesus Christ as the spirit of prophecy. Magnifying Jesus, glorifying Jesus. Is that's what tongues, whatever, understand the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's always going to glorify Jesus. He's always going to be magnifying Jesus. That's what he's moving in that direction. He's always doing whatever Jesus wants to do. That's what he's going to prompt you to do. So that's where they're working at over in that area. So he tells us we're supposed to sing in that area. See, most of the church world, they just operate out of their understanding. But understand this, operating out of your understanding requires no faith whatsoever. It doesn't require anything. That don't mean you can't operate out of your mind by faith, but you don't have to be in faith in it at all. I mean, you could stand in a church service and sing every song that goes along, and you could mentally sing that song, and not any of it's been from your heart and faith, not a lick of it. You can do every bit of it. But I tell you, you're going to have to be over in faith to start working in the area of tongues. That's why a lot of people, if you don't understand the faith thing, they won't pray in tongues and do that very much. Because they want to be in the mental realm all the time. They want to be over there. It requires faith to operate over in this area because we don't rely on feelings. We're not relying on any of that kind of stuff. We're saying words we don't even know what they are. It requires that we're just trusting God. Hey, this is working. This is charging me up. I don't feel charged at all. You know? And we're over here doing it. Now, I'll tell you, this one thing about it, it doesn't matter. You don't ever, there's times I get over in that area of the Spirit, and I mean, I can get some really powerful feelings, you know, out of that. I mean, the presence of God just seems to rise up and you do that. But it doesn't happen just because, well, if I get a feeling, then we're going to do it. And I've learned that, you know. I'm not moved by how I feel because, see, I've watched people. I watch people come into meetings and powerful moves of God, and they felt absolutely wonderful. And the next day, they go out and they're acting and doing exactly like they did before they were ever in that meeting. It changed them not one iota. Why? Because they never operated in faith. Just because they felt God in the meeting didn't mean they caused the feeling. You know, I throw water on you, you didn't cause the feeling I did. I threw the water on you. Now see, this is a lot of Christians, they get around, they think because something happened in a meeting and they felt it, it was some kind of sign that they were close to God. They were never close to God. Because I'll tell you what, any manifestations of the Spirit that I've ever had in a church, I've had in my personal life. See, when people are relying, and lots of times they rely on others to go over and to get something. They're relying on others. You don't want to go there. You don't want to start doing that. See, it isn't enough. I thank God, you know, I thank God for people that know God. I got learned from being around people know God. But I came to the place where I didn't want to just go to where they were. I wanted to have where I was at. God would move. I want it where Ed's at because Ed can't always be around over there with them. And I want God to move. I want to know and sense God's presence where I'm at. I don't want to have to go to be around certain individuals. That I don't have to wait for a Sunday to go to church to get any kind of sense of a presence of God. I don't want to do that. I mean, really, that's really low living. I'm serious. That's low living. That's low living. Because what we're happening is we're going over there and we're getting splashed from somebody else. Somebody else's, others have caused this thing to happen. And I'm coming over here and I'm getting splashed by it. But when I leave, what do I have? See, if I don't have anything when I leave, where am I at? And see, this is where God wants us to arrive to. God wants us to arrive to the place where this stuff is happening in us. It's happening in our lives. We're doing these things. God's manifesting Himself to us. It's just like the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. I had more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit happen in my bedroom in 321 Canal Street than probably most churches have happened in a lifetime. Right there in that, I'd pray. Presence of God come in that room, things that happen. All kinds of stuff would go. That's, you know, that's where I learned about God. I'd go to the bedroom, and I expected when I'd go to the bedroom, God didn't show up. We go to the bedroom. What do you want to go there? What do you want to go to a place? God don't show up. See, lots of people went, well, I tell you, I went to church, I didn't get nothing today. Well, sure, you probably didn't get nothing all week either. So, you know, you can't blame the preacher for that. Dear God. It ain't the preacher's fault. If you were so spiritual, you'd have got some at home too. Why would we expect not to be able to hook up at home and be able to hook up at the church? See, this is why we do these things. The wonder, this thing about tongues is the most glorious thing. because it opens the door to you and me to the supernatural power of God. It opens us to something that's absolutely phenomenal. God wants you to experience Him. Thank God. Just think of if all of us know how to experience to God and then we hook up together. My God, no telling what's going to happen. And see, this is what we have. You know, is the church has just been trying to rely. You know, man, Benny Hinn, seek God, would you? We'll come to the meeting and Benny Hinn, you know, you sought God and, you know, you have your meeting. I'm going to come down and I'm just going to take advantage of what you sought God for and I'm going to get it. Do you realize that the majority of the people go to these meetings don't get healed? Because I tell you, that crowd is almost all sick. His meetings is almost all sick people. And when you sit down and think of the small percentage, yet I will tell you this, the power of God is present to heal every one of the people that go there. Well, see, this is why you want to know how to hook up. If somebody has a special gift, some people are anointed with special gifts. They have special gifts of healings and things. God does those things. We find it in Scripture. Well, if He does, I want to know how to hook up to it. It's like showing up, you know, and you have a computer and you got to plug it in and there's no place to plug it in. Well, it ain't going to do you no good if it isn't battery operated. You're in trouble. And this is people. They go to a meeting and they don't know how to plug in to the thing. And this is where tongues helps us. It starts developing in us. It starts doing something inside of us for the inner man, the developing the inner man. So we begin to operate in these things, worshiping and praising God. It's like Paul said. So Paul said he sang in tongues and he sang in his understanding. And really, when Paul's talking about these things, Paul talked about the church at Corinth. He told them when the church came together concerning how to use... Really, the first Corinthians, the 14th chapter, is a chapter written telling the church how to use tongues in the church meetings. How to use them. And really, tongues, he showed them how to use them in a ministry to edify the body. What we do to edify the body. But Paul made this statement in his life. He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. So in other words, where does Paul do all his singing in tongues? And where is he doing it? He at the church service. Now, there's nothing matter. You know, we get there. No, nothing wrong when we're having worship service. And you want to sing in tongues? Go ahead. Have at it. You know, have a good time. Do whatever. Do those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you only do it in the church service, you missed it. Because you've been using the battery 6 days of the week and you come to a church service for a couple hours and then you only charge the battery maybe for 15, 20 minutes and then go home and wonder why all week we're... I'm sorry. That 20 minute charge ain't going to work good for 6 days of trying to run that thing. And this is why we do it. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul spoke in tongues. He when he prayed in his understanding. He sang in tongues. He sang in his understanding. But he was doing these things. This was his lifestyle. This is what he did. And so learn to take the time to do these. Like Kenneth Hagin said when Jesus appeared to him, he said, if my people would pray in tongues 1 hour a day, he said, there's a lot of things they'd never have to face. He said, if they just do that, 1 hour a day, pray in other tongues. Well, I figured I have a choice. Either face things or take the time to pray in tongues. What do I want to do? If I have to face things, I'll probably face those things for months. If you say you don't have time to pray in tongues, I'll tell you this, you will have a lot of time for trouble. You're going to have a lot of time for trouble. I just tell you, I'm not trying to be hard or anything about it. That's just the way it is. And I'm teaching you folks from experience. I'm not telling you about anything I don't know. So take the time to pray in tongues. Things go a whole lot better. Hallelujah. When we take times praying in other tongues. Glory to God. It's just like the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 told us. For if we speak in a tongue, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but unto God. For no one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So we're speaking God's mysteries. That's what we're doing. You're singing out the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Worshiping God in the Spirit. The whole time. You know, we do that. When we're worshiping God, really. And what we should do, but we're not focusing on ourselves. But yet, when we're doing it in tongues, it's building us up. See, all the time, there's this feedback to us. of what it's doing to us. It's feeding us, it's charging us up, it's making us more sensitive. It's working in us, helping our faith, strengthen our faith. And we need that, you know. When you're coming against something, it's like anything. The greater thing that you come against, the more force you're going to need to be able to put back against it. It's like lifting weights. You know, you don't need as much force to move 50 pounds as you do 100. You don't need as much to push 100 pounds as you do 200 pounds. This is what happens. There's people say, I don't know, I have faith for healing. Yes, but you ain't got enough of it. You ain't got enough to force behind what you're dealing with. I'm going to tell you what. It's just like I tell people, if you can't deal with a headache, you're not going to deal with cancer. It requires more faith to push cancer than it does a headache. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It shouldn't. The reason it does is because of the way you think. Amen. People get a headache and don't think a thing of it. They don't think nothing but it. Somebody gets a headache, they don't feel like they're going to die. They don't think, oh my God, we're all going to die. I've got a headache, so I won't be here tomorrow. But you let the doctor mention cancer. Fear grips the people. Why? It's because of the strength on the inside. If the inner man's strong, that stuff will come to you and you won't get afraid. You won't get afraid. You know, I never really said anything to anybody. I came down and I had I don't know how many years that's been now since I had that skin cancer removed. They found I had this thing on me. It was here and I went to the doctor, asked about it. They checked it, did a biopsy. It said, you have skin cancer. I didn't even care. You know, he told me skin cancer. I ain't going to be afraid. You know, it's just like a headache. I've been able to stop them for years. I've stopped headaches since 1980. I can stop a headache. And to me, it was no different than that. It's no different. It wouldn't make me afraid. I didn't concern myself with that 1 minute about that thing. One of the reasons I don't really talk to people about it, because I don't like to get over talked in those areas about people, because people, man, they get over in the areas of fear. They start, you know, worrying about stuff. And people get over in the areas of fear worrying about things. You know, I had that happen. It's just like anything else. And, you know, I had the doctor said, you know, he wouldn't cut the thing off. And he said, you know, and checked it. And I never even let it bother me or anything. You know, I just praise God. I'm healed. I'm fine. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Hallelujah. Well, what if you get skin cancer again? You know, well, you're a candidate for it thinking like that. You're a candidate. You see, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. If you continue building up the inner man, it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you think. See, I've learned to build up the inner man because there's things that I need to be able to push against. And if that inner man doesn't have that ability, and he don't get the ability just reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible and knowing what a scripture says don't give you that. You got to be able to put that into action. That requires force. The word put into action requires force. That's where most people fail. They don't have the power nor the will within them of their own human spirit to stand against it. And see, when we're talking about the power of God and building up the inner man, it's not about just being physical, or like, you know, as we are. You know, I was always considered a very strong-willed person. But I had to learn to develop a strong will as a Christian in the inner man. That had to be developed in me. Because my will was geared toward the world, my natural will. I had to develop my inner man, the new inner man, in a will to do the Word of God and just go ahead and do it. Force against stuff. But you know, when I started off, my force wasn't too great on my will. You know, I could only do it to a certain extent. But I learned about building up the inner man. It's one of the ways you do it. We pray in the Holy Ghost, then you act on it. You act on it by beginning to act on the Word of God. Keep doing what the Word of God says, act on it. But pray in the Holy Ghost. That builds you up on the inside because you need to act against that thing. You need to be able to put force against it. And if I'm being built up praying in other tongues, that's building up my faith. It's not giving me more faith. It's helping to make the faith that I have strong. In other words, that faith that I have in me, I become confident. See, it's affecting my will. Faith without a strong will is not going to do you any good. It's the strong will that you have behind it. It's just, you know, like going to the gym. I've watched guys in the gym. You get these guys who are big weightlifters and that stuff, and then they come in, and these guys got, oh, my God. Oh, you're tiny. You're tiny toward them. These boys, you go in the gym, my words, you go in there, I stay away from it. I stay out the other end and watch these guys. They go in there and they lift. But I'll tell you, what they do and what they go through, the force and stuff that they'll go through to lift weights and to do things. You know, you find out why those guys are so big. I mean, they aren't over there, you know, going, well, this is just too heavy today. Mm-hmm. Let's go do something. I mean, those guys are over there and they're doing stuff. My God, and they're straining at it. You know, they're over there doing it. Well, they didn't start there, did they? They start with that stuff. You know, they were probably over there, the 25-pound thing when the guy was in the start and he got to build himself up. But over time, you know, there's something that builds so you can do that to yourself naturally. You just build into yourself something naturally where you start just keep doing something and just keep doing it, keep doing it. This is where it goes over in the area of the spirit. You have to learn to do it there. You can be strong on the inside and on the outside and weak on the inside. That's where many people are. I know guys that on the outside are so little strong, and in the inside, they're the most fearful, whining little people you ever want to meet, and they're big men. I used to see it all the time at Lebanon County Prison. I used to work intake at nights, and that's when most of the arrests would take place. And so the police would come in and bring them in the prison, and I'd do them the intake. I found this out all the time. You get a guy in there, walks in 6'6", 300 pounds, and he gets in there after he gets arrested. He's bawling and crying, acting like a little baby, all scared and everything and all kinds of stuff. But they just hauled him in for beating three people up. But see, when he gets over in there, all of a sudden you start to see what he is on the inside, what he really is. He fights and does all he does is because of his fears, his weakness on the inside. He's weak on the inside. He's insecure on the inside. He's doing what he does because of his weakness in him. I live there. I know that. I know what that's like. I know what that's like. What you do out of fear, you know. I'd fight at a drop of a hat just because I just realized after I got saved, I did that because I was afraid. I was always afraid somebody's going to do something to me. I always thought they was always going to take something from me. It was fear, fear driven. It wasn't that I was some kind of big brute. I was driven by fear. I was afraid. And that's with a lot of people. Well, that isn't how we operate over in the spirit realm. Man, I tell you, you can get somebody that looks like a little bit of nothing, but in the inside can be a real tiger. Hallelujah. And I've seen this many times. I've seen people on the outside don't seem like nothing, but they come up against a fight of something spiritually, and I'll tell you, they come up, the devil tries to kill them, and the devil can't get nowhere with them because inside they're like a lion, man. They ain't putting up with none of this junk. See, inside, they've developed something on the inside, and that's why getting over in the spirit, this is one of the things that helps us over in this area, praying in other tongues, firing up that inner guy, hallelujah, worshiping and praising God, carrying tongues into every area of our life and what we do in our prayer life, our worship life, or whatever it is, carry tongues over into it, and really, it is the doorway to the supernatural. It'll change you. It'll revolutionize your life. And that's what we want to do. Praise God. We're going to stop here tonight. I won't go on any further from here. Hallelujah. But we want to walk and live in this consciousness with God and walk in these areas. And if we spend time praying in the Spirit and doing those things, we'll walk in these areas. We'll get over into these areas where we'll be more confident, build up on the inside. We have to do spiritual things to affect us spiritually. Natural things are not going to affect you spiritually. Spiritual things is what you want to affect you. The spirit man is not affected from the natural side. He's affected by spiritual things. The Word of God is a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's why your inner man likes it so much. That's why you allow him to read it. You allow him to study it. He likes it. He enjoys it. The outer man says, "Let's go to lunch." The inner man's saying, "I'm having lunch. Let's park a while here." The inner man's wanting to look on the inside. He wants to see this stuff. He wants to feed on this. This is what he wants to do. The inner man wants to pray in tongues. He wants to pray in tongues because he knows what it does. The real you knows what it does. The outer man may lose consciousness of it and not understand. But the inner man knows. This is where we walk by faith. I'm going to allow the real me to do what he likes to do. And the man on the outside, this house I live in, is just going to have to shut up and stop for a while. That's what he's going to have to do. And that's what you want to do with your life because you want to become strong on the inside so that inner man affects the outside so you can subdue the outer man so he doesn't do what he likes to do. Hallelujah. That's where I had to learn to do, is to bring my outer man under control, and he's not brought under control by rules and regulations. Rules and regulations will not bring the outer man. Look at our nation. We got every law against everything in the world, and people break them at 1,000 miles an hour. You know, they just keep breaking them as fast as they can. Man's life is not changed by laws and all this kind of stuff. He's changed by the inner man. That's where we got born again. God's going to change the inner man. He put God, the Holy Ghost, in the inner man. What? So we can subdue the outer man. Hallelujah. So you don't need somebody giving you a law book. You'll be the law yourself on the inside. Walking by what's it? You won't be lying, cheating, and stealing. You won't be doing stuff. You'll be walking by the law of the inside, the law of life in Christ Jesus that made you free from the law of sin and death. That's what you'll be living by. Hallelujah. You won't be trying to find ways to get around or skirt what's good. You'll be trying to find ways to do good. Because that's what the inner man's doing. That's what it is. And when he's dominating, when he's ruling, man, things work. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't live under condemnation. When you pray, your prayers get answered at a snap. Hallelujah. Because you're operating out of the inner man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just say thank you tonight as we looked again into your word. We just appreciate so much, Father God, the goodness and the wonderful things that you've given us. And Father, I just thank you for this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Father God, what a wonderful supernatural baptism that we have. Hallelujah. Father God, where the power and the glory of God begins to work in us, to revolutionize our lives, to change us. Father, to take us from glory to glory. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you these wonderful words that we're hearing. Father, these wonderful scriptures. Father, they're settling into our heart, the inner man's taking a hold of these things. Father, we're being strengthened and built up. Father, I thank you that we can pray in other tongues and spend time. And Lord God, as the word says, it edifies us. It builds us up. And I thank you, Lord God, that our inner man's being charged. We're becoming stronger and stronger every day on the inside. The real us, our human spirit, hallelujah, is becoming stronger and mightier. Father God, Father, we can overcome anything. Father God, there's no weapon formed against us could prosper. Hallelujah. Father, for us to go under, you'd have to go under, and that's an impossibility. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. Father, for continuing to lead us in this direction. Thank you, Father God, that you're taking us to another step of glory that's higher tonight, Father God. And Father, we're stepping into these places. Lord God, we expect wonderful and great things to happen and take place. Father, so Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.